Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational. And joining me to break it all down, Kyle Porter is here. KP, welcome.
Long time no talk.
It's been almost 3 full hours.
I know. We've been just talking golf all day. It's great. I love it. Great first round. Great leader. Good setup for the weekend. Next 10 days of golf are going to be good.
They really are. Looking forward to seeing how it plays out from here. Before we dive into our leader, who you've heard of before, let me remind you that 2022 marks the 50th anniversary of Title IX, and the Attacking Third podcast is celebrating the anniversary of all of March for Women's History Month. Each Tuesday during March, hosts Lisa Roman and Sandra Herrera will chat with groundbreakers in women's sports. So listen to Attacking Third's Title IX Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else podcasts are found. Rory McIlroy, through 18 holes, can be found on the top of the leaderboard, KP. It was an opening round 65 with just one blemish on the card, the bogey at 11. Makes eagle on 16, and this is a bit rare. Rory has not gotten off to a lot of hot starts in recent memory, but here he is, 2 shots clear of the rest of the field through 18.
Yeah, and I think if you think about Rory historically, this is how he wins tournaments, right? He's a great front runner. I think that was more true at the beginning of his career than it's been in recent years. But I think the thing that is most encouraging to me, Rick, is he had eight looks inside of 15 feet for eight looks for birdie inside of 15 feet. Most of that was ball striking. Some of it is being able to reach the par fives and, you know, lagging to 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet and making a pretty easy birdie putt. But he hit a lot of good irons on Thursday. And that was the thing that I was a little concerned about coming in. The driving was great. He's been putting great, which I think has kind of flown under the radar. He's been putting really, really well. And we'll probably talk about this quote in a minute, but it seems like he's enjoying not having the green reading books and just kind of letting his athleticism and his wisdom take over. So it was a great day for him to gain. I mean, shooting 65 is one thing, but to gain 7 strokes on a field when you only need, you know, 15, 16, 18 to win the golf tournament, that's kind of a scary proposition for everybody else in the field.
Yeah, it really is. And not only did he gain over 7 strokes to the field, but he did it across the board. There's a couple of guys out there on the golf course that could change these numbers. But as of right now, he is top 20 in all 4 major strokes gained categories. Number 1 in off the tee, 17th in approach, 15th around the green, and 20th in putting. You cannot you can't get any better than that, KP. It's well-rounded. It's great across the board. It's the blueprint.
It is. He did say something interesting. This is kind of unrelated to his numbers, but he was talking about how at Bay Hill, they've grown the rough up around these greens. And he actually doesn't like that because he believes that his short game is really good and it doesn't require as much touch or as much skill when the rough is up. He likes it when it's, there's run out. You got to use your imagination a little bit. So his numbers around the green were pretty good at, anyway, you know, regardless, but he did talk about how that kind of normalizes or brings some kind of balances out the rest of the field in a way that he didn't like. But yeah, these numbers are, I mean, that's a joke. He did talk about driving accuracy at the beginning of the year. Do you remember that, where he said he might try to hit 3-wood more and find more fairways? And I don't know what his 3-wood numbers were versus driver on Thursday, but when Rory's first in driving accuracy, that's terrifying. Like he's gonna score a lot.
Yeah, the field should be shaking in their boots. Here's the quote about the greens reading book. So Rory McIlroy said, quote, I've actually really enjoyed not having a greens book. I feel like it's got me more into the putts. I feel like it's benefited me these last few weeks, and that's been a nice thing, end quote. To me, the way that I understand that, and I could see this, I'm kind of at times a bit too into things that I shouldn't be. If you're just nose to your greens book and relying on every little intricacy that thing gives you, you probably lose a lot of sight of the feel and the putt and things that you're going through in the day. And Rory has kind of, he's done a good job over the years sometimes of just stepping back and seeing the bigger picture. And I feel like that's really expressed in this quote about putting.
Yeah. And I think it goes along with my theory that if you just rolled everybody out onto a course that they hadn't seen before and they played 10,000 holes, that Rory would win by a lot. I have no idea if that's actually true, but that's what it seems like. And that he gets, I mean, he talked about this on Wednesday. He was just talking about like how he's just a curious person, and curiosity in golf can just lead to places that, while well-intentioned, you don't want to be thinking about. So I think he plays his best golf and his mind is kind of empty. And so when it's forced upon him like that, like a rule is forced upon him that allows him to kind of empty his mind, I think that really works to his advantage at some of these tournaments.
We talked about it heading into the week that he's just got elite course history around Bay Hill. He's going to improve on those numbers through at least round one. He's going to raise his average there, gaining over seven shots to the field. But this kind of felt like a situation where you had Rory again, kind of on the verge, ready for another pop. And then he gets to go to Bay Hill. The comfort level and confidence must be so high when you feel like your game is already pretty close and you go back to the friendly confines.
Yeah, he had a quote on that. He said, I think you turn up at any golf course where you've had success and automatically you're going to have some confidence coming in. I've shot some really nice scores here. I think the last couple of years I've opened up the tournament really well with scores similar to what I shot today. I feel like there's a nice flow to this golf course where you can really build a score. So I bet he probably wishes he had that confidence at Augusta instead of Bay Hill, but for our purposes, you know, four of us taking him in one and done, and
that's right.
And,
let's go,
you know, lock for top 10 and all the different stuff that we had him on. It's become, and we talked about this on Tuesday, it's become one of the surest, one of the guarantees in golf is Rory at Bay Hill. And I don't know if I had married those two things before now, but statistically it's true, as you pointed out. And I think that's starting to kind of settle in for me the more I see him there.
Couple of fun little nuggets here. Let's see. 22 under par in the opening round at this event since 2018. That's the most under par of any player. He made his longest career eagle putt today. That was the putt on 16, the par 5, 41 feet 1 inches. I don't know if that's a lot or a little. Do you think that's a long? I mean, if you took every golfer's career long eagle putt, do you think the average would be above, further or shorter than 41 feet?
Shorter.
Really? You think people just stuff them in there? Or are you saying they don't make these putts when they get longer chances at them?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it wouldn't be different than like what's the percentage chance of making
that? Yeah. I was thinking like 3%. Because I think 50 feet's two, so it's probably like 3%. So
but you're saying if you took 33 cracks at it. If you took everybody's longest, okay. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
I have no idea either.
that's a really good question. You're gonna have some that are like 75 feet that kind of skew it upward.
Right.
Yeah, I think I would still say under, but that's interesting. Rory played the par fives and five under on Thursday, which is. There was somewhere recently where he struggled with the par fives, and it was Torrey maybe. Yeah, he didn't play Torrey.
Didn't he play? He played him at like one over or something, and weren't we like, that's terrible. I remember this conversation.
I can't remember where it was, but yeah, I mean, him playing the par fives and five under is first of all really impressive, but also obviously like that's what he does. Like that's his deal, you know, and so. If you see that number, you're like, okay, Rory is like locked in a little bit. And, you know, you'd love to see it throughout the rest of the year too, as we get into the majors and, you know, all that stuff.
Three chasers, two shots back of Rory McIlroy, Bo Hossler, JJ Spahn, Billy Horschel had himself a nice little day. And then you get Sung Jae-im, Will Zalatoris, Adam Scott as a couple of the notables at four under. But I want to talk about John Rahm real quick here, KP, because he had himself a full day. The scorecard's going to say even par 72, but it was nothing that steady. It was a roller coaster. He not only is currently second in the field in strokes gained approach, but as of last check, let me double check this, almost dead last in putting, which included a 10 inch putt that he hit 1 inch, and I'm not exaggerating.
He chunked it.
Remember,
have you ever Ricky chunked Fowler a putt?
No, Ricky Fowler did it at some event and missed the cut.
Yeah,
where he just stubbed his putter into the ground.
I thought he, I thought Fowler. There we go. I thought Fowler whiffed it. Did he chunk it also?
Well, okay. So I believe the technical aspect of Ricky Fowler's would have been I think he stubbed it. I think he did not set up. He reached his hand down. He dropped the club and it just like stuck into the green behind his ball. And he like stubbed it. Rahm's was a, like, I think he tried to stop.
He took a divot.
See, like I don't think so.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I didn't get a great look at it.
Yeah,
you might be sold.
You might be right. The funniest part was they showed like a side view of it, and it showed his caddy just like stopping and staring at what he, like, did I just see that? It was unbelievable. He's the number one player in the world.
Yeah, even throwing out, so it's hard to lose. He lost 0.99 strokes putting on that one stroke. As you can imagine, it's hard to lose a full stroke putting on a single shot. But when you're 10 inches away, that happens. Even if you throw that out, he was still 1.7 strokes below zero with the putter. I mean, this is, and you can see the frustration. You can see how frustrated he is out there when he cannot get anything to fall.
Well, and I think it makes for a good time to kind of to bet him, right? Like, because I have no concerns about Rahm's putting. I mean, today was obviously bad, but long term, it just doesn't affect me. I think, you know, he switched putters recently, which I think is a little bit like, wait a second, what's going on here? But 11th from tee to green, second on approach, 26th off the tee. That just screams like I had a bad short game day. And that's the stuff that pops back up the next day or the next week or a month from now or whatever. So honestly, it's because there's so much like noteworthiness around it and newsworthiness around it. It feels like a good time to bet on him.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can give you the betting odds and I can talk through the rest of the betting board. But I think first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt, and I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to, and Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the
jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to viori.com/first. That's VUORI.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. viori.com/first and discover the versatility of Viori clothing.
And we're back. If you're interested in Jon Rahm, he's 20-1. That's the number you can get on Rahm. He's currently 7 shots back, 2nd in the field in approach play, but he's going to have to run down a couple of big names between him and the top of the board. Is 7 back with 54 to go too many?
No, I mean, he could go out and shoot 65 tomorrow, right? He could shoot 64 tomorrow. And if Rory's your big concern, I think out of the group that's just behind them, I think Sungjae is concerning. He's got a couple top threes here in his last 3 starts. I think Zalatoris is a little concerning. He hit the ball really well on Thursday. Adam Scott is mildly concerning, but no, I think I wish it was a little longer. I wish it was like 30-1, but I don't think 20-1 is. I would be on that. I would be in on that.
Zalatoris 3rd in the field in strokes gained approach. The favorite, Rory McIlroy, plus 225. I don't often say this, but KP, when you start looking at the situation here, that Rory, you're right, generally a very good front runner. He's been putting well for a handful of recent events. And when you see that he's got the driver in check and that he is sublime in every category, this might be a pretty good number to grab him if you don't have a pre-tournament ticket. Because if he does anything close, shoots a couple under par on Friday, he's going to be even money against the field.
I actually thought it would be like minus 100 when
I checked this
earlier, and I was surprised to see it this high. So yeah, I think I agree with that.
Yeah, if he goes out and plays his first 9 holes at 2 under, it'll be even money him against the field. Billy Horschel 11-1, Victor Hovland and Sungjae Im both 12-1, and then Zalatoris was the only other guy between Rory and Rahm at 14. So I think you're right. The Sungjae number, you know, he's a winner. Yes, there are other big names around here. The good success, he can get hot with the putter. That one's kind of interesting. I could probably back that.
Yeah, I think it is. I think all 3 of those guys, Hovland, Sungjae, and Zalatoris, they're a little longer than they should be just because Rory's out in front. So if you believe, you could honestly bet like all 4 of those and feel pretty good about like one of them winning, I think.
Are we supposed to get wind tomorrow? I meant to look this up. Let's see. Friday afternoon could get a little windy, KP. So let's see. That would be the guys That's who the went Rory. Out Thursday morning. Yeah, that yeah. would be the Rory side of things. So this might, maybe it gets a little tighter. Obviously, well, Rory, the wind in Florida's, you know, changes its mind every second.
Rory was talking about how the greens are firm. Like
you can hear it. You can hear it on the telecast.
That's why I think 65 was pretty good today. I mean, obviously, but it doesn't, I don't think this is going to be and who knows, this is wind dependent, but I don't think it's going to be like a 21 under situation or even like a 17 under. I think 10, 11, 12 could win it. Again, depending on the wind. If you get a lot of wind, you could see single digits win it. If you don't, then yeah, 12, 13, I don't know, something like that.
I love that thick rough out there. I love when the ball it's heading towards, it's 1 foot off the first cut and these guys are begging for like a good lie or like a good kick. And you have no idea what you're going to get until you get up there. And then what I do also love is sometimes the rough dictates what these guys have to do. They have to lay up now. Like I think, is it 16 that becomes an automatic layup if you miss it into the right rough? Like I love that they just have no choice in the matter.
See, I don't love that because I think that, I think when you don't have that, you give guys options, like when it's thin and wispy and kind of Pinehursty. And I get it. It's a different course. It's a different style, whatever, but I like the options. I like when it's kind of, there are more variables that come into play than just like, I think the thickness, there is a variable there, right? That you're just talking about. If it's sitting up, you can go for it. If it's sitting down, you can't, but I like the recovery shots more from like the thin kind of wispy stuff.
I do like the options, but I also just like the penalty of it. Which is just like, hey, you missed it by a foot. Sorry.
Yeah, it's very different. It doesn't feel like it feels like it rewards a different aspect of your game, which as we saw, Rory hits 92% of fairways and you go shoot 65. So Adam Scott's not carrying a driver on Thursday. Did you see that? He had a 2-wood.
Yeah.
Which is his quote on that was actually pretty funny. He said, if you look at my driver stats, accuracy is not its best thing. Distance is fine, but accuracy is not good. If it's not in the bag, then it's not a temptation. Hmm. And he said, he was asked, when you play with a guy like Rory and you're watching that, do you feel like it's costing you on the par fives or anywhere? And he said, no, because I know better than to get into a big hitting contest with Rory McIlroy.
See, savvy, you know, over 40 savvy guy, Adam Scott knows not to get into a driving contest with Rory McIlroy. Smart.
He's right.
KP, anything else before we get out of here on this round one recap?
I don't think so. It's a fun day. Big day of golf talk with you. Wish we could do it every day. So yeah, should be a fun final 3 days and then into next week with the Players. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome.
Great run of golf here. Great run of golf. Rory McIlroy winning the week before the Players would create a fever pitch and books would act accordingly.
Yeah. I mean, especially considering he won there. I mean, Rory and JT are your last two winners there in Hideki, kind of, but mostly Rory and JT. So
yeah, the two that have the trophies for.
Do you think Rory's gonna win?
I think that oftentimes on Thursday, I think there's a lot of golf to be played, and the guy who shoots the best rounds, you know, generally doesn't win. But when it's Rory and the metrics are as balanced and great as they are, I believe more strongly that Rory is going to win than I do about a lot of guys after 18 holes.
Yeah, I think he's going to win. It had the feel of like he just looked in more control. Like Rory can shoot 66 and kind of look out of control. And this was like, it just looks just very, very controlled, very easy. The iron play was awesome. It had the look of like, hey, this is my week. It doesn't matter what you guys do, which is a fun Rory week.
I was going to say, I think I've seen this one before. And it usually ends well for Rory McIlroy. Okay, we will be back after each and every round this week to continue the conversation. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob, does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, Kyle Porter, who you can find on Twitter at KylePorterCBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.